rolling. Episode 3 of the Bantam Podcast.
Now live.
We are now live. Welcome to another episode. Crazy.
Yes.
You're back for more.
Thank you for having me.
No worries.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good to see that we've got return clientele.
Wow, I'm honoured.
Return guests.
Thank you.
That first podcast we did, it was pretty cool. It was like, you know, us sort of just testing out the gear, but put it up online and I don't know, what did it get? Like 50 or so views?
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
not
yeah.
too bad.
Someone watched.
To ask 50 people to listen to us talk shit is, you know, that's a pretty big ask. And I did it in two parts. I think it were two, like, 45-minute episodes. So
okay.
That's pretty cool. A couple people subscribed, so thanks to, you know, people who are listening to us talk shit.
Make money.
Oh, man.
YouTube monetization is, you got to get some pretty big numbers. I've been reading a few articles about it just to sort of figure out what kind of numbers you need to hit. And you're talking, if you start to get, like, 50,000 views, but you need to get those pretty quick, like within a few days or a week, that's about the point that you can get some ad revenue from YouTube.
Right.
And if you do it consistently, so if you, like, you can do that maybe with one off video, maybe you are the guy that films some dude road raging and it becomes a viral hit. But if you can maintain it, like, say, a podcast channel, like the Rogan Experience or whatever, that gets like 100,000+ views on every video that they upload, and they're uploading these vids once, twice, three times a week, I think that's where you can start to actually say that you are making money purely off YouTube in terms of, you know, that's an income stream now. Even that, I think, is like, you know, not big bucks. Mm-hmm. I think that what I read was that you can get about, I think it's about 10 to 20 grand a month once you start going in the...
A month?
Once you start going in the half million a million views range.
I watched this thing, most people probably know, Days, that I only just got on the bandwagon recently, and I've been watching a lot of videos.
It's not Days, is it? It's DayZ.
It's DayZ.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's American, so yeah.
Yeah, that's just what... Our slang.
This is a game? Yeah, it's actually a mod. They're releasing a standalone game, and hopefully it'll be out by the end of the year. But yeah, there's this dude who's made a whole video series, and it's like a survival zombie horror thing, but full survival. Like, you get hungry, and you got to drink and rest, and like one-shot kill, all that kind of stuff. So carny stuff. And it looks really good. I'm going to get the standalone. But I've been watching this dude's videos, and this dude gets hundreds of thousands of views on all his videos, and he's got probably, I don't know, I'm up to like episode 30 maybe, and then yeah, I've got another 20 or so to go, and they've all got thousands. And yeah, apparently he makes around about $2,000 a week.
From his videos. What kind of numbers is he getting on his vids?
Tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands. There's Frankie on PC in 1080p, and he does heaps of other videos and shit as well.
Yeah, okay.
So I guess that contributes, but apparently he gets a lot of money from, and that's what he does.
Yeah, so crazy. I've been researching what kind of amounts of video hits you need to get to start to make money off YouTube. And yeah, it's not about just having the one video that has millions of hits. It's about consistency and having, you know, some content that people subscribe to and come back to watch. And that's where you start to get, you know, enough numbers up to start making some money from it. So, I mean, YouTube's definitely taking over. Like, when you look at, in terms of taking over viewership of general TV, there's some story on the news the other day that, you know, TV viewership said it's lowest, the lowest amount of resubscribers in America to cables, you know, just happens, which is meant to be, you know, a big sign of the times. I'm honestly surprised that anyone still pays for subscription TV these days, just because of the fucking framework that they force down on people. Like, you know, you can't pick channels. So if you want your movie channel or your, you know, your Cartoon Network for Simpsons or whatever, got to buy this fucking package of 50 other shit channels that you'll never watch to give it the illusion of a value. Look, we're going to give you 50 channels, and you know, 48 of them are fucking, you know, cooking channels, like infomercial networks. I paid to get more infomercials in my house. What the fuck is going on? So they, those companies need to wise up, and they need to, it'll happen, I think. I think that they're starting to hear the death knells of their business model, and they're going to start doing things where you can, you know, the way that technology is now, and I remember when digital TV and shit first came out, the way that they described the possibilities of that technology was that I would be able to be my own TV programmer. Via my remote and an interface on my screen, I would be able to, on demand, just program exactly what shows I want when.
Well, you can kind of do that now.
Well, the internet has provided us that option.
Well, you've got all the
Netflix
and well, you've got all the most of them have got services online now. So as soon as it shows on TV,
oh, you mean like the catch up,
the 10 Play and the Channel 9 one, the SBS one, and iView is really good. iView on Xbox. On Xbox.
No, I've got to admit that the Australian TV networks. Catch up services are awesome, but I think that iView kind of led the charge on that. That
Definitely.
Was the first good one.
Then SBS.
And then for a while there, I thought, well, it's because there's a government funded, you know, public broadcaster. They've got more ability to put their stuff up online, but then Seven. Has 10 got a catch up?
Yeah, 10's called 10 Play, I think.
Yeah, right. I haven't seen that one.
I've seen
SBS one, which is awesome because there's so many awesome documentaries on SBS that you fucking, you know, you always miss, or you see coming up this Sunday night and then you forget to watch it. That's the other thing, like, you know, planning to watch TV, like, fuck man, like, those days are gone, like, and like, you remember back in the day, like, TV knew how to program in terms of they knew when you were going to be doing shit. Like, there was nothing on a Friday night because they knew everyone was going out. You know, it was crap. But Sunday nights were the ultimate night. And it still kind of is for premiere shows and stuff. At like 8:30 Sunday, that was the premiere movie time, though.
Yeah.
It was like the big blockbuster movie would come out on a Sunday night on 8:30. And, you know, people, that made sense. You know, 8:30 Sunday night, most people are pretty chill, just eating dinner. They got to work on Monday. Awesome movie, you know, that's a great time to roll it out.
Pump full of ads. The 10:30 movie is cooler though sometimes, because that's when you get your Conan the Barbarian or something.
And they knew that maybe it's a bit early to go to bed.
Yeah.
You know what? And then they slip out an awesome, the original Die Hard or something at 10:30.
Well,
and you know that
well,
back
do
in the,
that after the cricket now. If you watch after the cricket, after the one day cricket, and it finishes at like 10 or something.
Yeah.
That's when they put on the gnarly, like, Tango and Cash. Lethal Weapons or
Die Hards. They've got a few staples that they pull out.
The Lethal Weapons. It's usually a Lethal Weapon. Yeah. I can almost guarantee it. You watching this summer, there will be a Lethal Weapon after a cricket game. Almost guaranteed.
Well, they didn't do it. They didn't do it today.
Well, no. This is one day is. But after the one day,
finish at like 10 o'clock and stuff. But yeah, that's the other thing, is the goddamn ads, watching commercial TV.
You're just getting into it, and it's just ad.
I understand, like, this is what pays for free content to be put into your home in high definition, is the ads. But they got to figure out a different way, like SBS, do it in between programs, you know? That's how they started, and now they've just gone the way of the rest of the other networks. But when SBS first started getting commercials, because SBS was non-commercial
for ages,
and then they started getting ads, and they only did it in between shows. So you get a 27-minute show, or often quite shorter, like 25-minute show, and they'd have a big chunk of ads in between. They'd have SBS upcoming shows, they'd have commercial ads. And then the next show, you'd get it uninterrupted until the end of it. Or if it was a movie, they'd have, like, major ad breaks, not, like, every goddamn 7 minutes or something now.
Yeah.
And as you say, you just start getting into it, and
every moment
they crack an ad. Yeah. It's like, Man, and the ads in Australia, like, not, I'm not wishing for American advertising, but because we do have a smaller population than, you know, other countries, there's only so many products and so many actual companies that can afford TV advertising. So it turns into this massive oversaturation of ads. You get the same goddamn ads all the time. And I'm not just talking about, like, this show was brought to you by, obviously when a show is brought to you by a company, you're going to see a lot of their ads during the breaks, but it's like, especially like the cricket and stuff, it's like the same ads, and they know that this is people watching the same program for a period of time. Do they really think that there's going to be more effect by playing this ad every ad break for the next 5 ad breaks? Or do they think there will be an effect of pissing people off of seeing the same fucking ad every ad break, 5 ad breaks
in a row?
The first time I saw it, I was like, maybe, I'll keep you in mind, whatever. Second time I saw it, I'm like, okay, come on, mate. Cole's little red quote, but whatever. Yeah. And that's the other thing, the advertising is at, like, aimed at the primal reptilian part of the brain, or this little kid part of the brain with jingles and flashing colors, and like that Coles car insurance ad is so bad. And the irony of it is you can't get that if you're under 30. So it's an ad designed for mature people, and they're singing like this. It's like, man, is that meant to seep into my consciousness to the point where I finally get to the point where I'm laying down some cash for some car insurance, and that's what sticks out? That's what makes it through the parapet?
It's probably a really good deal. It's probably, you're going to get a pretty decent deal.
This is the thing. They could have advertised this as that would be a great ad. Looking into the camera, that's well spoken, saying, you know what, this is the best value car insurance, because if you get a quote anywhere else, come to us and we'll beat it by 5%. There's no, I think that's the deal. Like, they've got this undercutting thing, usual Coles, you know, trying to fucking monopolize the entire fucking industry of whatever they're touching.
But now when you go and get your good deal, you're supporting this shit ad, and that mate that goes, you know, with his fingers.
We are not supporting the ad, but you are not.
Well, you are giving revenue in that time period that ad's on, and that's what the ads are based off. If they don't make revenue, that's the whole point of having an ad.
I know.
Is to get more revenue and to promote a product.
But half the times, these are not the decisions of the companies, because they're going through ad agencies.
Yeah, we want an ad like this.
And they'll throw however much fucking money it costs to make an ad like that for TV.
You watch Gruen and it's like, my God, you know, like, these people sit around in rooms finding ways to piss us off, you know. But that's, if it didn't work, they wouldn't do it. And they're out to spend a lot of money and,
But there's just too many ads on TV. Have you got any favourite ads? Yeah. Crazy? Anything that fucking presses your buttons?
Gets me angry?
Yeah, or just like, you're like, look at it and you're like, what the hell? Like, am I really meant to respond to this advertising and want your product from after seeing that or hearing that?
I try to fuzz off at commercials.
Yeah, I know. Well, you either change the channel or you watch some kind of version of it that doesn't have ads.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm a bad channel surfer.
How good is it? And because we've come from the time where we were forced to watch all our TV via the public broadcast.
Yeah.
And like watching Simpsons and all of that. And then we came into that era where DVDs or downloading from the internet that had no ads became a reality. Just the DVD box set. Like, remember the first, like, remember Deadwood, when we got into Deadwood? And like, I was so happy that I got into that show when it was completely out on DVD.
Because
I could just sit there and plow through it. Like, and you could tell where the ads were on the DVD, because they've got those fade to black, but it just comes straight back to the show and you're like, straight back. But you can tell that would have been like a bit of a painful moment to bloody see an Omo ad. You're like, man, dude's about to get his head ripped off.
Yeah.
Here's some car insurance. Yeah. You know?
It probably works to a lot of people, because the repetitive of it is just brands it to some people a lot easier. And if it works for a handful and not for you, you're right. They're doing something right. And they do throw a lot of money towards TV advertising itself.
It's crazy, but is it a case of they've been doing it that way for so long that they just, like, don't know a better way. Like, you know, you go to an ad agency and you're saying to them, I don't want to make a stupid jingly ad.
Yeah, no jingles.
You know, like, but your competitors have all made the same kind of ads. Do you really want to risk it? Want to be the person that sticks their head out in the marketplace and tries to make some serious ad about car insurance that just tells the facts?
Yeah.
Dude, we need you to put on a clown suit and have an exploding cigar go off in your face and then say big savings. That's what's going to make people remember you.
That's right.
I know that it feels silly, but that's the way that the people think. And then, you know, you get these people in ivory towers deciding what the populace, you know, this is what breaks through to them. I don't know, like, you know.
There's people rocking up to those surveys or whatever they probably do together.
The focus groups and shit.
Focus groups, yeah.
Well, I've been to a few of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Not so much for ads, more for products that they're going to bring out.
Oh, you're in the same element.
Bit closer, you reckon?
Bit closer.
Bit closer on the mic there, crazy?
Me?
Just a little bit. A little bit.
I'll give him a bit more volume on the old desk here, too.
I'm just in my prime position here. Is that better?
Yeah.
That should be good.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Yeah.
Well, I'll run it through compressor post as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. There's a lot of ads out there.
You know what shits me is because I've been driving to work a lot more than I ever did passes, and I'm not proud of it, but I listen to a lot of radio. It's just that my CD player in my car is so shit. And
what's your station?
Triple M.
Stations. Triple M.
I cop so much shit from people, especially musicians. They're like, how do you fucking listen to Triple M? And I agree, it's crap. It's just, and this is what my response is they just catch me out. Right at the moment where I'm like, fuck this shit, I'm going to rustle through my fucking glove box and find a CD and
Russell
put it in.
Russell Crowe.
Or I'm going to fucking try another station. That's a whole other fucking story. But, yeah, let's say I get to the point where I'm like, fuck, man, I'm going to put a CD on it. And I do try to do it, but CDs are just so cumbersome. They're so 90s. They really are. Like, fuck it, in your car, you know. I could put them all into a wallet, but then they're not in their cases. And
CD, you need to get something that's like a digital player.
I know, that's the thing I'm saying. I've got a shit stereo. I've got no kind of, like, Bluetooth or any way of even plugging in the headphone.
Do you have an auxiliary input or something?
No, nothing. And then my it's so shit that the fucking LCD on the faceplate is, like, you know how some fucking devices have got, like, a night mode, which makes them dim, really dim? Mm. Like, the LCD, it's like it's stuck in that mode. And I know that it's capable of working because, like, twice in the, like, year that I've owned that car, as I've turned on the ignition, I've seen the LCD light up properly and, like, fully bright. I'm like, oh, you can work. Nothing's broken. You just decide sometimes to work. So, yeah, it's dim as shit. That's why I don't put CDs in it often. Anyway, Triple M catches me out. At the moment where I'm ready to go, fuck it, I'm changing the channel and putting on a CD, they'll play a fucking good song. Like, the thing is that Triple M has always been about being 20 years ahead in time. And the reality is in 2013, 20 years ahead in time is 1993, which is around the time where fucking heaps of my CD collection is from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll fucking pull out a Soundgarden song, they'll pull out a Stone Temple Pilots song, they'll pull out heaps of Foo Fighters, you know, and I'm just like, oh, okay, and so I get stuck on Triple M. So because I'm stuck on Triple M, I get exposed to all the shit DJ talk, which is pretty crap. They're just, Triple M, in my opinion, has become, and I guess they always have been, a pay-to-play station. You can tell when a band comes into them and has paid for exposure on Triple M because everyone gets excited about this band. Like, all of a sudden, this DJ that never likes new Australian music is massively into this new Aussie band. It's like, what the fuck happened there? Anyway, that's just fucking... could be conspiracy.
That's radio.
But a lot of Triple M reeks of pay-to-play, payola shit. Not payola, but actual legit, like, come on in, here's the package that you can pay for to get, you know, this amount of exposure in Triple M. The whole point of bringing this up, we're talking about ads, radio ads, man. Now, there is a crap medium.
Yeah.
Like,
They are pretty terrible.
Oh, man, they're so bad. There's like... and Triple M, you know, is a bit of the, you know, working class-esque radio. So going for your labourers, your tradies, you know, your beer drinkers, you know. So they don't sort of have too many, like... They've got, like, you know, high finance ads and stuff like that, but there's a lot of stuff that's, you know, latest Toyota Utes, latest, you know, Makita Tool ads and stuff like that. And all of those kind of ads, they seem to have this common thing, just like Trains jingles and crap, a common thing that they lean on TV ads, is two people having a conversation that you're overhearing.
Mm.
That's the style of radio ad I notice a lot, which is just... Because the conversation is the furthest thing from a real conversation that you've ever heard. Like, some of them get beyond ridiculous. Some of them are like, yeah, mate, I was needing to fix the missus up some, you know, bookshelves, so went down to me local Mitre 10 summer sale. Like, you'd say, like a tradie would say that. You'd go, I went down to local Mitre 10, I had this sale on. Like, yeah. They've got to say the full promotional this name of the sale.
Sale thing, man.
Yeah, I went down there
and people everywhere.
I went down and I...
Fuck, mate. That's what it would have been. All right.
I went down there and I, you know, they had 7.5% finance available. Like, so, like, come on, like, you know. And then
you've got to get down here.
The other funny thing about, like, ads on radio is... The beauty of TV is that when you've got legal clauses that you have to get past, you can just put it a little asterisk and tiny little writing down the bottom. This goes for alcohol ads as well, the drink responsibly shit. But on radio, they've got to say that.
Yeah,
but that's precious time. That's precious airtime.
Yeah.
So they've like not only got the dude to say it super fast, you know they're using a computer program to super speed that shit up. And it's like, you know, VB... Enjoy a cold one with your mates. Enjoy responsibly. Do not serve alcohol after. All of these fucking conditions. Yeah. Like, checks will not be honored.
Yeah. Your drunkenness is not.
Fucking radio funny. Ads. Yeah. They shit me. But yeah. I mean, that's pretty tough. Put yourself in the shoes of a dude that's working in the ad industry. Shed the thought, but fucking, I'd probably put a gun in my mouth. But yeah, let's say that you're doing that job. And you've got to sell, let's say you've got to sell, I don't know, pick a product that's hard to sell on the radio. You've got to sell...
Oranges,
yeah.
Or the local...
A Paddy's Market. Yeah. You've got to make a Paddy's Market out because they advertise on the radio a lot.
Yeah.
Like, what would you do? Like, you know?
They got that jingle.
Would you just go,
Honestly, jingle does work.
Yeah.
And if you can get a catchy jingle, but that's one in a million.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have some kind of offer. Like, I understand why they're pointing that kind of stuff.
I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener.
But it works, man. And I could not believe when I was working at GAME, not many people knew about GAME when I first started working there. It was all EB because they're everywhere. And they ran some shit ads on Channel 1 when they first booted up. And they were terrible ads. Terrible ads.
This is in the GAME store?
Yeah, I remember that. You probably never saw them. And it was like, get GAME. Terrible ads.
I remember it.
And the amount of people that we got in as a result of those ads going out was significant.
It wasn't like
we noticed a little bit. It was like significant.
Wow, yeah, for sure.
Shit's running past the store, pointing and singing.
Tell you, advertising is most expensive, man, for sure.
Expense, man, but it works.
It works.
That's why people do it.
It's reliant.
And the other thing was catalogs. They started to do a catalog drop. And, like, people come in with their catalogs looking for them. There were some good deals, but people
right at your
knew
doorstep.
About them because they got delivered to them.
Right at your doorstep.
And they're sitting there.
For sure, man. I love a good catalog.
Yeah.
I promise you. Awesome. They should probably.
It costs a lot of money.
They should probably go the way of the dodo with current technology. Yeah. Like, in
emails.
JB cost smart on that because they had the classic JB looking graphic design and shit on their flyers. And they actually send their emails out and they look exactly the same as those flyers used to. And I'm sure they've still got paper versions, but I'm sure they give a shitload less out with their mailing lists on email, which is, you know, pretty cool. I was watching some fucking thing on the news the other night. A couple of Aussie kids just come out of uni, want to make money on the internet, and they've made a little bit of inwaves with some social media site, but they dumped it and decided to focus on apps. And they made this app that's basically a brochure browser. So you download an app, it's a free app, but like all of these companies then pay these guys for them to display their online brochures into this app, and it makes it really easy to flick through and see all the shit. And
you can buy direct from the catalogue.
Purchase from it, yeah. But that's the way to go, man. Like, you know, fucking, you know, but catalogues, yeah, that like things like electronics, computer games and stuff like that, they're the best. You still get a pretty good, you know.
It's the only reason I read a catalogue.
Pretty good sense of what it is and good value with just like, you know, a picture of it and, you know, fucking, yeah, but fucking TV and radio ads are really, really painful. And it's because it's they're getting more desperate because I think the medium is dying. There's less viewership. There's less, you know, space to be had in that realm when they're trying to squeeze more fucking ads in, like. Some programs, I'm sure, have got more ads than program at this point.
Definitely.
It's ridiculous. Definitely.
Yeah. You wait for the new Underbelly. So that'll be like, honestly, like 20
show
minutes.
Promotions? Yeah, but that's a different story than.
Oh, you're talking about when the actual show's on, that it'll be peppered
just,
with ads.
It's just, I remember when Underbelly came out, like, and I'm sure it's the same with all of these massively promoted shows, and it was just so many ads. I'm sure there's regulations, though. I'm sure you're not allowed to show more than a certain amount, but definitely some have more than others.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's the Underbelly's coming out on DVD pretty quick after the season's finished on TV. So, you know, if you don't like the ads for that.
Easy TV as well.
Yeah.
There's something.
It'll be torrented pretty hard.
There's something I heard, the sponsorship ads on billboards in most games. They don't like to have too many competitors, or if not, no competing companies at the same time. Like, it's weird.
It depends what type of game you're talking about, because if you want to have a fully official, say, track on a racing game, then to make it look like the real thing, you're going to need the same ads that they've got at the real track. Like, if there's some parts of sporting venues and stuff where the advertising is a like integral part, like they call that end of the ground the Marlboro stand or whatever, you know what I mean?
Recent F1 2013, they had all of the classic stuff, ran into all these problems. They couldn't use the people that they wanted and all the sponsors and stuff they wanted because they had to pay to use an advertiser from the 70s or whatever.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's a flip.
Yeah, no, Marlboro corner and stuff. Yeah,
but yeah, it's become one of those new realms that they can actually sell advertising space in. Is like, you know, billboards and shit and games in virtual worlds.
Pretty
crazy.
Did you hear? When was it? Maybe 10 years ago. Could have been. There was a rumor going around that Coke wanted to build a sign up in the sky.
I've heard this.
Have you heard that before?
Yeah, yeah.
It would have been that long ago, I'd say. That's when I'll probably last remember it.
It's quite an old urban legend.
Urban legend, yeah.
That Coke wanted to put an advertisement on the moon, on the face of the moon. Is that what you...
Somewhere or floating in space, or something orbiting Earth, or I don't know how it would have worked, but the rumor, yeah.
Because... Yeah, I think that's probably urban legend. I'll look it up. I'll see if I can look it up. But it reminded me of a thing I've read recently, that the Japanese want to do this, like, it's like a ring of solar panels around the moon and then use microwaves to send the energy back to Earth and basically use the moon as, like, a solar farm.
Wow.
And they had these, like, artist renditions of what it would look like, and it's basically like a ring that you can see from Earth of solar panels
on the
around
moon.
The whole circumference of the moon. And I don't know if they're actually on the moon or if they're in the orbit of the moon.
Let's see
if I can find it. Yeah.
Clever.
But yeah, it was funny. I was reading this thread about it, and people were saying, you know, what the hell, like, they've just basically nuked half of their country and they're worrying about stuff like this. You know, how about focusing on cleaning up that, you know,
the nuclear site
Fukushima
deal. Yeah, it's before heavy, man. What can you do
stretch
then?
Out to the stars. Pencil up. Okay, so this article's from today, and it's on the Financial Express, and it's titled "Japanese Firm to Supply Solar Energy from Moon to Earth." The Japanese firm has proposed an out-of-this-world solution to our planet's power woes, building a solar panel array around the moon's equator and sending the electricity as it collects back to Earth. The project, called Lunar Ring...
Wow, Halo.
...is developed by a construction firm, Shimizu Corporation. According to the firm, such a system would be capable of sending 13,000 terawatts of power.
Wow.
Terawatts.
Wow.
That's crazy. Back to Earth, and that construction could begin on the project as early as 2035, fizz.org reported.
Man, I'd believe that.
To extend the continuous generation of power, an array of solar cells will extend like a belt along the entire 11,000-kilometer lunar equator. Wow, the moon's only 11,000 k's around.
Wow.
If you went around its surface.
It's pretty big.
Fucking tiny, isn't it?
Yeah.
This belt will be built in width from a few kilometres to 400 kilometres, the company said on its website. Robots will play a vital role in construction on the lunar surface.
Wow.
They'll be tele-operated 24 hours a day from Earth, so basically drone-operated robotics. The concrete would be covered with solar panels, which would be connected via cables to microwave and laser transmission stations. The energy beam sent from the moon would be directed at receiving stations on Earth, allowing for around-the-clock source of energy, as there are no clouds or bad weather on the moon. So, yeah, I don't know how that works. Microwave sending 13,000 terawatts of power via a microwave. Like, I don't understand. You know,
giving science. You cancer with my
rays. Well enough, but yeah, like, some layman questions would be, do we have the technology to actually do that, to send that much power through a microwave that distance with enough accuracy? Like, what would be those receiving stations?
Wireless electricity stuff now.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be something like
that. I don't think that
they're going to run a line from the Earth to the moon to bring the power back.
Oh, yeah, they're not going to have a hard wire. Like, it defeats the purpose. Like,
but how do you bring electricity wirelessly through the air? That just seems very weird.
Microwaves, it seems. So, I guess with a microwave, that they've figured out a way to use that as a transmission wave. Just like...
like radio.
Like radio, yeah. So, when you're tuning in your radio station, what you're actually doing is the frequency that it says on the dial is actually doing a reverse phase amplitude on that frequency. And what Triple M does is they spit out their music. So, you know, the waveform that you see from sound, the music that they would be broadcasting, they actually blend that with an ultra high frequency or very high frequency being 100 and what's Triple M 104.9? Mm-hmm. So 104.9 megahertz. So this super high like frequency blended with that wave, and that's what enables it to transmit so far. And then your radio then minuses 104.9, and when you minus that away,
and what's left,
you're left with the wave sound that
they signal projected. Yeah.
So is that essentially electricity that it's sending out?
No, it's an amplitude modulation or a frequency modulation. So that's AM and FM.
So that's like a waveform, right?
Well, frequency modulation is basically a modulation is a difference. And all that they're doing is basically saying there is a difference between this frequency and this frequency. That's a pretty... I forget a lot of my studies from audio engineering to explain it better, but
And amplitude modulation is in volume. So it's represented in changes in volume, whereas FM, and that's why it's very low bandwidth. So AM sounds really like, you know, telephone quality like, whereas frequency modulation has got a much higher bandwidth and it's represented by differences in frequency. So I guess what they're saying is that the microwave becomes the transmitter frequency or the carrier frequency that the power then sits on. So the power is instead of the music from Triple M in this case. And the microwave is majorly higher than 104.9 megahertz. Microwave is super, super high frequency. And the higher the frequency, the further transmit distance you've got. So that's why they'd be using microwaves. What I don't understand is how the receiving end minuses the microwave away and is left with power, with voltage, with wattage. I don't know how that works. And I'm pretty sure... Well, I don't know if this
Does a radio tower send out wattage?
It's powered by wattage, and the wattage is how strong a signal it outputs. But it's the radio tower is not outputting...
So that signal that it outputs, right, to your radio or TV doesn't actually have any... It's got ones and zeros in it?
No, that's digital. That's just when they take that waveform and replace it with ones and zeros. And then you need to have a digital decoder. So when you're tuning into a digital radio station or a TV station, you're minusing the frequency that we talked about by tuning into it, but then you're left with a stream of ones and zeros that needs to then be decoded by... And that's why we had to get digital set-top boxes when we first started getting a digital TV. And that's what that box was doing. We were able to get the one and zero, but we needed the one and zero to be turned into the codec, audio and video codec. So, yeah, that's, I guess, what they're saying is that they have the technology to send power, that much power, on a microwave from the moon to the Earth. And I don't know if it's the same technology that Tesla talked about, because apparently Tesla figured out wireless power back in his day. Like, there's shots of him sitting in between a transmitter and a receiver and showing that he's, like, you know, lighting up lights and stuff and with wireless power. So I don't know if this is a similar thing. I don't know if you've gotten the beam of that microwave, if it's bad. I don't know if it's just, like,
is it going to fry you like a microwave?
We actually saw something. I remember me and you, I'm sure you were there, and they brought moon rock back, or not somehow, but yeah, and they had it enclosed in this kind of plastic contained room in a lab, and somehow they were trying to, they had cables to it, things clamped to it, I don't know, but somehow this thing gave out so much power, it pushed all the plastic panels, it bent them.
Full on, a moon rock.
Just a chunk of rock, bro. It was probably not bigger than a football. I'm sure we watched the same documentary, man.
Yeah, right.
And what they did to this rock, and it just, the whole field around, plastic shields, it just bent from the panel. You didn't see it, but it showed you the footage after how bent this enclosure, man. And it's like, wow. Or whoever it was, just energy. Yeah. But transmitting it back and,
Well, that's all we need to do.
I couldn't find anything on Google. I just typed in moon rock output voltage. I couldn't find anything in specific. But, yeah, that's, I mean, I've been getting into a bit of moon landing conspiracy stuff. I've actually been getting a bit more into the debunking documentaries because... I like the debunking ones because they obviously go into the science of things a little bit more. And moon rocks are definitely one of their strong cards that they play when they talk about, well, how did we not go to the moon? You know, there's elements or whatever in the moon rocks that, you know, you just can't get on Earth. You'd have to go to the moon to get these. But yeah, I can't remember any doco where it blew out the panels. I'll have to try and remember, go through my old doco list.
Yeah, we'll be harvesting the moon. Wow.
Well, at least the light from the moon.
Yeah.
Be interesting to think what...
Moon pay. What a time to be alive.
Yeah, that's right. What's trying to be alive.
I wonder if a structure that big, yeah, it's a big ass structure, would affect like the gravitational, you know, forces on the moon, if it would fuck up its orbit tracking.
Yeah.
You can imagine they went up and did it, and it, like, within 3 years, NASA comes back and they're like, dudes, like, the moon's, like, off by, like, 0.75 degrees.
You're pulling it towards the Earth.
Yeah. We're going to hit the moon.
And they're like, what do you mean 0.75 degrees in 3 years? Like, whatever. And you're like,
nah.
Yeah, whatever now. In about 129 years.
Oh, sorry.
That's going to basically plow into Utah. I saw this awesome photo. See if you can bring these up. What if planets were as close as the moon? Just type that into Google. There's this series of photos that this guy's made up where he shows if the other planets in our solar system were as close to us as the moon is as close to us, what they would look like in the
sky. Cool.
I don't know if it'll be a YouTube thing, but give it a try. And it's epic. Oh, interesting. I wonder if these are the same photos. No, but let's see what this guy just done. Well, that was the moon. I remember Jupiter blowing my mind in the photos that I saw.
Is Pluto in there?
I don't think
it's a planet anymore, man. Yeah. Oh,
man. Don't be slack. Wow.
Neptune's. Wow. I think Neptune's one of the biggest planets, so.
We caught it.
Couldn't leave it go, could you? Couldn't leave it go.
We changed that word.
Uranus is huge. Look, check this out.
Holy
this is
shit.
This is gnarly. Can you imagine?
Oh, man, that'd be wicked.
Now, Jupiter's the biggest, isn't it?
If Jupiter was that close to us, we would be a moon to Jupiter, and we would be either stuck in a...
Yeah, we'd be orbiting.
Orbit, or we'd be being drawn into it very fast.
Oh, man, imagine that. That'd be wicked.
That'd be pretty gnarly. Just imagine that, like, rose, like the sun. Wow. Like, after 4:20, that popped up.
Rocks.
Super cold. Like, a lot of it's ice, apparently.
Yeah.
See if you can find these still photos. I'll have a quick look on my lappy as well. The still photos were pretty full on because, as you saw in that sequence there, they started with the moon being pretty far away, and in these ones, it's like a pretty close shot of the moon, and then the rest of the planets are just like, god damn. Yeah, this is it. Flick it over. And then hold down control.
Yeah.
So there's the comparison. Even in his, the moon's not massive. Yeah, that's good.
See, moon over Death Valley there. Venus.
And I guess these planets would be super, super bright like this if they were this much closer to the sun. Maybe it was high when I looked at these photos because they just spun me out. Here we go.
Oh,
that's a big difference. Man.
That's epic, eh?
Oh, wow. Wow, they're big planets.
I look at things like that and I can't help but think of
even that
times in the universe where planets have collided. It's happened, you know, like apparently our solar system, as it went into its current lineup, we had some super close calls, like Earth with other planets.
Man.
I think it's Worlds Collide is a book that I read when I was in high school, And I think a lot of the premise of the book was talking about how a lot of major religious events might have been, could be attributed to some of these stellar rearrangements happening. And that, you know, I think one of the theories was that the parting of the sea was one of these planets passing so close to Earth that it changed our tidal patterns for a period of time.
Wow.
And but then people interpreted that as God changed the flow of the water and parted the sea so we may walk through it. I don't know how much scientific evidence or, you know, astrological evidence there is for that kind of story, but it was pretty cool to read, you know,
Fair enough, yeah.
But think about that kind of shit, man, like worlds colliding, like two planets just fucking, you know, and from a distance it had seemed like a little puff.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, happen before we see it.
Zoom in on that and be on one of those planets as it's happening and just be like, a million miles an hour, these planets coming into each other.
A couple of years ago when Jupiter was getting bombarded with asteroids, I don't know if you remember.
Jupiter
was getting hammered.
Yeah, right.
And apparently, and I did see this with my own eyes, apparently if it was a clear night, at some particular time, one of the biggest rocks they think would have hammered and we would have been perfect alignment in Australia to see. And it looked like a little diamond ring, man. All you see is you can look at Jupiter and this spark.
Like, no way.
Just like a real spark, man, real quick. Whoa. And that was a chunk of rock cranking into... That would have... Hydrogen bombs plus, you know, like... And
the power impact of some of the shit that goes on, like... I mean, just the, like, power of gravity on planets that are, like, massively bigger than ours. Like, apparently it's, like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pounds of pressure just on the surface.
Yeah, crushing. You know,
from the fucking sheer size of these planets.
If not the rain, acid rain or some weird chemical, different, like, rainstorms and different storm patterns.
I've read some article where on, I think it's Neptune maybe, that there's, like, ocean and cliff faces of diamond.
Wow.
So like beaches, I mean beaches of sand that's all diamond or some shit like that. Like just crazy shit. Because it's just
been pressed so much.
I guess they've just got the right. Well,
that's how diamonds are made, is carbon.
And it's, you know, that scruffy looking scientist dude? Pressure. He's a youngish dude. He's been on QI heaps of times. He's got like the fringe.
Not
like,
dude who's always there.
No. Oh, I wish I knew his name. He does heaps of SBS docos and stuff. He was the one that was talking about it. And he does a lot of...
Oh, I do. And he's like Irish or something.
Yeah.
He's pretty cool, actually. Yeah.
Do you know his name?
No, he's done ABC shit.
Yeah. He was the one that was talking about it. How, like, on Neptune or one of the planets here, there's, like, ocean beaches of pure diamond and shit. And it might be because of the pressure. I don't know. That's a good point. Fucking.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's how diamonds are made. It's like carbon.
Yeah.
It's underneath the earth. It's under all that pressure for such a large amount of time.
Well, they've managed to figure out how to synthesize
into it.
Like real diamonds. Yeah, that's definitely it. Carbon plus time plus pressure equals diamond. A lot of fucking pressure, a lot of fucking time. And that's why they're considered such a precious gem. But they figured out how to synthesize diamonds. And technically, like, what they do is they start with some carbon lattice framework and they're just adding layers of carbon molecules, I think, with machines, obviously, to automate the process. And I think it's the way that those molecules line up is what makes something give it its hardness. So when those are really tightly packed, that becomes hard thing like a diamond, and that's why a diamond is one of the hardest or the hardest material that we have, is because those carbon molecules or atoms are really tightly packed in this like lattice grid work pattern, and they've figured out how to recreate that with machines.
Wow.
And they'd start with like, I think I don't know if they start with a speck of diamond to start as the framework or some other thing as like this seed, like a diamond seed, and they put it in this like solution, and then this machine just starts latticing this fucking shit, and then I think it takes a couple of months, and then they've got, you know, they're not massive diamonds. They can't make huge, chunky diamonds with this technology yet, but they can make diamonds that are, like, big enough for, like, you know, electronics and computers and, like, drill bits and, you know, industrial.
Drill bits are insane.
Diamond-tip drill bits, yeah. That's the kind of shit that bores down into the, you know, middle of the earth to fucking extract oil and fucking...
Carnage.
You know, that's the ultimate in rock, paper, scissors. All these people fucking put these, like, new versions with, like, Spock.
Pencil.
Or fucking...
paper.
Whatever. Diamond. What beats it? Nothing. Paper. I wrap paper in your diamond. And then I just go, and your paper's cut.
Yeah,
diamond wins. So nothing beats diamond, you know? Like,
yeah, it's diamond, one of those, it should have been diamond, yeah.
Dichotomies, like, you know, there's always something that's going to be harder that will break that. And you keep going down the line, and diamond seems to be the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've managed to make finished diamonds with, you know, basically recreating it. Things that would take tens of thousands of years in the earth to do. And they take these diamonds to the professionals, the, you know, dudes with those fucking thimbles in their eye. And they fucking...
the dude, man at arms. Oh, no, the dude's the thimble in their eye. Like, yeah, watchmaker, dude.
What is, there's a good name for him.
Let me tell you.
Diamond cutters and no, diamond menders or...
Inspectors, fucking...
Oh, those dudes, yeah.
Those dudes, you know what I mean. They're usually old. They're usually jeweler.
Oh.
Huh? They are. They're all... The Jews had the diamond... evaluator. Diamond evaluator, I think that's what it is. They have market stitched up, usually.
Evaluators,
yeah. They take these diamonds, these manufactured diamonds, to those dudes, and they can't pick it. They're like, yeah, that's... Like, they actually go to them, and they give them, like, four diamonds, and one of them's the one that they've made. And they're like, you need to pick which one didn't come out of the earth. And they're like... Some of them take a guess and guess the wrong one. Most of them are like... I can't pick. I can't give you a genuine opinion on any difference between these stones. Here's the funny thing. And I know some females that have agreed to this. You go to most women and tell them that you can manufacture a diamond like that, and they're like, I don't want a diamond like that. I want a real one that came out of the ground.
And it's probably more...
There's no difference.
And more perfect... Than some of the...
Oh, the manufactured ones. Yeah. Probably. It's probably superior product.
Yeah, that's right.
But on a molecular level, it's the same thing.
No.
I don't want that. I don't want my diamond ring.
The earth for millions of years. And
Some fucking slave labor kid.
Yeah, some...
Breathing in noxious...
Yeah.
Fucking water.
Dead canary.
The canary.
That has to happen for me to like that diamond ring. What the fuck? That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
No.
What, like, name anything. Anything in this world, and if science could make a foolproof copy that I could not tell the difference between and might actually be better, I will always take science's product. Like, seriously.
For sure.
Like... Especially something like a diamond. Oh, man, crazy. But, yeah, there you go. I found that interesting that people don't want the fake ones. Yeah, so they just use them industrially. Apparently, a lot of the new computers are going to be using diamonds.
Yeah, right.
Soon, the faster CPUs and, like, quantum level
diamonds.
Math crunching. You put some diamonds in your CPU and you fucking, you blinged up.
Wow.
You can do it faster, yeah.
Wow, yeah, powerful.
Yeah, man.
Bro.
Cray.
You were talking about DayZ before, bro. Now this is...
DayZ!
I think we went off somewhere. Yeah, we'll come back to it. Was it DayZ?
Yeah. Dude doing the YouTube shit. I'm talking about YouTube before.
It's never coming out.
It's going to be an alpha. People are going to go, oh, it's not out, is it? And it's going to be none of the alphas out.
Yeah.
And people are going to go, oh, what is it? You got a knob.
I hope you become a hostage in the first 5 minutes of play.
I don't care. Well, that's the part of the joy of it. So we'll see, man. It's going to be good. It looks quite decent. So, yeah. And they look like they've done a really good job.
Yeah.
And I want to be part of the... development of the next bit, so you know I'm prepared that it's going to be a bit rough, So, and it'll be cheap as well, so you can get in cheap in the beta.
Yeah.
But it'll be
looks better. Interesting concept.
But, yeah. Reddit is just going nuts with their hype trains and...
Yeah.
And dude who's the mod dude who made it, his name's Rocket, his handle's Rocket. And, yeah, they've got, like, hype trains with his face on it.
Right.
I'll find some examples of the hysteria around this. This has been going on for like a year, man. Like, people on this dude, he's working his ass off to make this game for people. Yeah,
it's not out yet.
It's not out yet. No, people think maybe by the end of the year,
right?
Some people are determined it's going to be next year. It's running out
it was
of time,
some other so. Game that was a mod.
Armor.
It's just a mod Armor on two. Another Armor game, two. And it became really popular. It's like if you came up with a way to have different kinds of guns and shit on Fort, or you managed to put zombies in Fort, basically, you know? And then everyone's like, the crazy mod for fucking Team Fortress is the shit, man. This dude should fucking make his own game. That's what they've said to this guy. So then he's gone, okay, it's going to be DayZ. He's his... standalone version of the modded other game, right? And there's been versions that he's put up online for some people to play, but it's not released. This is like, it's kind of like, you know, you're just toying around with a new graphic design flyer and you're just sending a rough cut to somebody to go, what are your thoughts, what are your ideas? So it's not meant to be officially released, but even that's gained a lot of popularity, just that little sniff that, you know, people can play. But because it's, like, so undone and so unfinished, apparently it's got heaps of bugs. It's got heaps of people hacking in it. So, like, you know, it's notorious for
people. It was a mod, and they want to completely rebuild it pretty much from scratch and fix up all these things. And it's only been, like, you know, 18 months at most. That he's been developing, so, you know, can't do some slack.
Is there any history of other games that this person or...
No, well, he made the DayZ mod, which is, you know, in itself pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And now he got employed by the developers of Armor, Bohemia, to make the standalone game as a retail release. And he's like, there's no point in releasing it if it's going to be shit, and I'm just going to get crap. You know, it's at least got to be stable, and I think they're pretty close. Once it's stable, they said it will release it. The standalone.
Yeah.
Alpha.
Alpha, which means not even beta.
No, that's exactly right. It's going to be very,
that's
very,
why
very
I say hard. It's never coming out. I hate to be skeptical, but...
This is an example.
I can't believe the fucking amount of people that are into this at this stage.
Yeah, like, yeah. And it's not even out. Is this Thomas the Tank?
It's the hype train, man. For days. Oh, and it's being released on Steam. And that's the developer dude on the front of the fucking train.
That's pretty silly.
And yeah, he's got that kind of shit being posted.
Right. By noobs. What'd you do it for?
It's because there's no other games that people can buy.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's only one video game that anyone can ever buy, and it's that game. And unless it comes out now, all of these kids will have, you know, that's what I don't understand. Like, there's so many games out there, more than ever before.
This is very unique.
It's taking a little while to come out.
It looks tang. I'm very excited.
One of the 20 million other awesome games that seem to be out at the moment.
Yeah, that's the other thing as well. Play some Battlefield. Play some, you know, next gen. You know, come on. You know, get off the dude's back.
Jesus, it's not like it's a Guns N' Roses album. You know, there's other options.
Yeah. Why are they calling him the choo-choo train or the train?
The hype train.
The hype train?
It's the hype train.
Because it's just full of hype.
It's the hype train. You got to get all aboard, motherfuckers. Choo-choo, motherfuckers.
I've got to say that is pretty poor. Poor editing and video and gifting skills. One of the most awesome cases I've seen, and I wasn't actually part of the forum when it happened. I all found out all about it post. But fucking Joe Rogan's forums, right? He had those forums way before he had the podcast. Like, that's kind of like how he got his online, or some of his online presence was building up his forums and the people posting on it. And I think what happened was is there was like one of Joe's friends, it might have been Eddie Bravo, that travels with him a lot, took a photo of him asleep on a plane and then posted it up on this board saying, go for it, guys. Here's a photo of Joe asleep. Photoshop away.
Oh.
And it's this awesome photo, man. He's like fully like mouth agape asleep, like reclined back in a seat with sunnies on so people can't tell that he's asleep. But you can just so tell he's asleep because his mouth's just like... that and, oh man, some of the photoshops on that, like people have gifted on so much gay porn. Like this one dude has gifted, like, and he's spent heaps of time like getting the movement of a still photograph to move with a video. You know how, you know that that's what that looked dodgy about those ones. This is like they've done it for four frames, whatever, to adjust
the tracking of it.
Somebody's done it for like 30 frames a second on this like video of like transvestites. So it's like two chicks, like this chick's got a massive rack, but she's got a massive dick, and they put fucking Joe's face on the front, and this chick's doing the other chick, and it's so wrong. It's like, and these people did it within like an hour or so of it being posted up because it became a challenge on the board. Like,
right.
And to this day, I see avatars and memes and stuff with that. Joe Rogan face asleep on the plane, superimposed on the weirdest shit. Wow. Well, one dude superimpose on the scene from the dude in Silence of the Lambs where he does the fucking naked dance in front of the mirror and tucks his cock in behind. He's like, I'd fuck me. He's fully superimposed, like, Joe's face on that whole scene. It's so fucking funny, man. Another dude did it for the Miley Cyrus Wrecking Ball clip. So it's fucking just Rogan's asleep face. Fucking that. I saw this getting a bit dirty here, but hey, that's where we've gone. This is fucking gif of somebody's gotten a picture of Miley Cyrus and she's doing her usual like tongue out, like, and they've printed it on a big square bit of cardboard. They've cut out her mouth. And I think they've lined the cutout of the mouth with some kind of, like, rubber cloth or something.
Oh.
Because some dude's just stuck his dick straight through from the behind and doing a helicopter twirl. And it's just a gif of that repeated. Like, it looks like Miley Cyrus's tongue, but it's a cock going, ah, 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 ah. It's so fucking wrong, man. It's so bad. And I thought it was funny because Joe Rogan posted, he opened a thread saying, you know, Miley Cyrus is actually really talented. And you might have heard him talking about it on the podcast the other day. She's done some cover of Dolly Parton, Jolene, and she actually sings really well in it. And it's a, you know, traditional good song, not fucking crap. And it turns out that she can sing pretty good in that style. And the first post underneath Joe Rogan going, you know, check it out. Like, you can't deny.
What
a bad bitch. And this is what else can we talk about? You got anything crazy?
Yeah.
My nostrils burning a bit, but it's down a bit.
What have you done?
Just something in the air. No, just keep it on the down low.
I keep it on the down low.
Yeah. Have you seen Anchorman 2 yet?
Is it out? It is out, yeah. But I have not seen it. I've seen various trailers. Nothing too much. I wouldn't mind seeing it, but don't know if I'll see it in the cinema.
Yeah.
Wait for DVD or online stream release.
Definitely.
But, yeah, I think you were saying to me the other day, Will Ferrell, in real life, is getting pretty
old. Oh, yeah, when he was in Sydney, in town, yeah. They all were, actually. Yeah, the Aussie son treated him well.
Yeah, it's funny, like, a lot of those guys play parts that you just think that they're younger than they are. And, then you realise you see them, like, on a TV show that might not do as much makeup as others. You're like, dude, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, there's been a few actors and actresses that have shocked me in that way. But, like, I tell you who's looking old as well is Tom Hanks.
for sure.
Yeah. He would be old.
He would be.
Really? He was young as in Big, and Big wasn't that long ago.
That was ages ago.
That long ago.
It was like fucking early 80s.
Yeah. Early
80s. Late 80s. Mid 80s.
Come on. I'm saying 1989. 88, 89.
Late 80s. Because we're definitely kids then, definitely. Probably 89, 90.
Boy. Yeah, IMDb and that shit.
1988.
There you go.
Let's make it great.
Let's make it great.
Put that ad on. Do you remember that ad?
The
Bicentennial?
Oh, yeah. It got pumped down here in Sydney. I think we had a whole day viewing on Channel 10 for it as well.
Really?
It was like a
expo.
couple hours
of the expo. Telecast? It was fucking so boring.
Yeah, they telecast it, I remember.
I went to the expo itself and tickets were probably, looking back now, the tickets were probably cheap. But for then, I remember them being very expensive. More expensive than like a concert and shit. And it was so tacky. It's like the non-ride parts of an amusement park. That's what it was like.
Yeah, put together.
Some fiberglass fucking outfit of fucking Barney and Friends over in some shaded area in the corner. No one goes there because there's a roller coaster over there.
Yeah.
That bit over there was all of Expo. That's what it felt like. It was so crap. Oh, and the touchscreens. I'm pretty sure this is one of the first times I used a touchscreen.
Whoops. Now we're so it's kind of meant to bring technology.
Oh, it was meant to be the futuristic, World's Fair.
Where's the kids?
Telecom Expo info kiosks.
Telecom
symbol, yeah.
So advanced, yet so simple.
This isn't an ad for it. That was weird to see, though, those touchscreens. Zoom into space.
This has got sound, this video, but it says it's Expo commercials.
I can give it sound. Let's make it great. No, it was like a scene with a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
Let's make it great.
It said it was like a collection of commercials, so it might be in here.
Did we have audio before on the other one?
Yeah, this might be it. Oh, no. Oh, shit.
What are they?
I remember all the old ads from all the old movies we used to tape off TV. That's the only time I remember the old ads. The burgering ads always used to be in Terminator 2.
Burgering?
Scream.
Game over!
It's the event that's captured the hearts of every Australian
alike.
Isn't
that audio?
Indelibly stamped as the greatest spectacle ever staged in the
Southern
Hemisphere. This Thursday at 8:30.
Monorail, that's the spectacular moments. Not in your life, my new friend.
Years to come. Brisbane, you're a star. Man. From the opening ceremonies to the attractions.
But that's the thing. Like, look at how...
Oh, my God.
Wow. Okay, she hasn't aged that great. She'd age worse. Even Gary and Kennedy. Like, okay, this is 1988. This is when Tom Hanks did Big. And now look at Tom Hanks. He's a pile of rags. He's done.
He's a millionaire.
He's an awesome actor. I love him as an actor, but god damn, he's looking old.
New Arnie movie?
What's that? Oh, yeah, Arnie's looking old, man. That was inevitable, though.
Not The Stand, that other one that's coming out.
I saw this thing that Arnie did for Reddit, and he does all these lines now.
It is new in volume.
It is low in volume. It was a pretty good movie at its time, though. Like, damn.
So this is a Total Recall trailer.
This is the official trailer.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Said 1990, so... Arrest that woman!
2 weeks. So yeah. Adjusting my microphone here.
Did you go and see that in the movies, Crazy?
Total Recall?
Oh,
man, I can't remember, bro.
I saw that in the cinema.
Probably did, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I did, but yeah.
Yeah.
Many times since.
It was a movie that... hang on a sec. It was one of those movies that came out, and it was a weird time of cinema because I think America got a new rating system, NC-17, that was different to R, or like restricted to over 21s. But Australia didn't have that equivalent step between M and R, and R was just 18 and over, cannot see this film, cannot buy a movie ticket. Oh my goddamn microphone. Okay. And Total Recall came out with an M-rated and an R-rated version in the cinemas.
Right.
Yeah. And when it came out on VHS, there was a M and R-rated VHS version as well. I remember when I hired it for the first time at Video Easy or whatever, I could only hire it M-rated. But then when you could buy it, you could buy they made a big deal of it on the cover, like that full unedited... uncut director's version, R-rated cinema version.
Mm.
And I can still remember, I watched that movie so many times that I remember the scenes that were different and what you got between the two versions of the film. One of the classic scenes was when he's strapped in and they're going to re-wipe his brain, and Melina's in the other chair, and he does there's a couple of scenes in that breakout of the chair scene that were cut in the M and were in the R. And they were pretty full on, like, you know how he rips out...
screw through the leg and stuff?
Well, he rips out the handpiece first. Yeah. And the handpiece that comes out has got a big, like, metal bolt coming out of the bottom of it. And a dude goes to, like, grab him, and he just goes, whack! And just, there goes my mic stand. Just hits him in the...
Side of the throat.
Yeah. M-rated version... hits him in the side of the throat, cut to next bit.
Yeah.
R-rated version, pulls it out, and full blood stream in the heartbeat and him grappling the wound and going down.
My neck.
And yeah, there's a bit where he grabs something that looks like an aerial or something, or a big long bit of metal, a metal rod or something, and it's like a dude's running at him, and then it's a point of view from the dude that's running at Arnie, and Arnie's just like looks at the camera and like jabs this like rod, and what it looks like from the point of view is that the rod's like sticking out of whatever it was jabbed into and then reels back out of screen. Out of screen, M-rated version cuts. R-rated version cuts to what Arnie sees, and it's this dude, and he's driven it straight through his head. Like, I think it goes in the top there and like out the bottom of his jaw, and he's fucked up, man. He's like, you fully see him like go down and like, stuff like that. Like, was the difference between M and R. I don't think there was any of the like three titties cut. I think that all the three titties was in the M-rated version. So like, yeah, have three.
We had three hands.
Have three titties, but not allowed to see that prolonged shot of.
That was the defining shot for young boys. Of that movie. Was that,
three toots, bro.
Well, that'll get in the orb out of his nostril and he's pulling it.
And on the surface of Mars, that's the classic.
I love when he first gets contact from the other agent. He's like the guy with the permed, greasy hair. Calls him
with the phone book and leaves the briefcase.
He's like, who are you? Doesn't matter. You got to get this. He's like, but before you do anything, you got to go get a towel. Wet it. He's like, who are you? Where are you from? How do you know me? Look, there's no time. Just go wet a towel. And he goes and wets a towel. And he's like, wrap it around your head.
Isn't it the same version of him that is?
No, that's not him yet. And it's not Hauser versus... Hauser and Quaid.
Right.
Quaid?
I think they're the two different characters. Right, but he hasn't met himself yet. This is some other dude that leaves the briefcase that has the message from himself on it.
Right.
And that's when he first starts talking to himself. But the dude gets him to wrap the towel. And it's this weird scene where it's just a normal towel and he's wetting it. But then the scene where he looks up and looks into the mirror after he puts it on. It's just this weird, perfectly folded into everything, really weird looking fucking thing. It's
turban.
Like,
it's
really weird. And he's like adjusting it, and the dude on the video phone goes, "Come on, come on, you look beautiful."
Yeah.
That little line just makes me chuckle every time. And then, yeah, he goes to the fucking open the briefcase in that like warehouse after he catches the Johnny Cab there and has to blow up the Johnny Cab.
That's right.
And he feeds the fucking mice the fudge shit, the space food stick shit that he's eaten. Pulls the Yangster thing out of his nose, which, once it's out of his nose, like, what the fuck with that massive protective big round bubble? It's just a bullet-sized thing. Why couldn't I have just pulled that out of my nose?
Yeah.
Why did it have this big red casing? Remember?
Yeah.
He pulls it out. He's like, "Rawr!" Fully overextends his nose like he's giving birth out of it. And then as soon as it comes out, he looks at it, and the peel off the side. And it's just a massive capsule. Yeah, look, that... the size of that fucking thing. And then it, as soon as it's done, why didn't I pull that bit out? Why did you give me this massive capsule? You cunts.
No need of protection. Just let it run from the sniper.
Yeah. Oh, it's just little grabs.
It's the trailer, yeah.
So we were talking the other day on the podcast about trailers that give away too much shit. This trailer's giving away too much shit.
Yeah.
And this is back in the day when they were making better trailers, but even that's too much.
Yeah.
They should have had it as... I don't know what they should have had it as, but yeah, just seeing that already, like, you know, half of the twists are being given away. Like, oh, he meets Melina and becomes friends and they do something together and then for some reason someone falls on the surface of Mars when that happens. But yeah... good movie. Doesn't really... the CGI is starting to show its age. No, like, yeah, that scene where they fall out onto the thing there and faces, you know, blow up.
Yeah.
CGI has come a long way.
Yeah. Well, I watched... have you seen New Superman? I thought that was a pretty good example of modern CGI. Mm. So that was pretty full on. Like the ending, man, where it's like... spoiler alert, but it's like... a lot of destruction in the city in the ending of that movie. That I thought that was pretty good CGI.
Yeah. Man of Steel was good.
Yeah. Well, should we wrap this up?
Yeah, I think that's really good.
We got two podcasts done this week.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And we'll be uploading them over a period of time.
Yeah, no, they should be up in the next day or two. I might start...
comments and suggestions as well, you know, we're always open for comments and suggestions, talking points, pull us up on our bullshit. What about you, Crazy? What are your plans over the next few weeks?
Just preparing for Christmas, I suppose.
Doing anything special for Christmas, or
eating, drinking, sleeping.
Yeah, I'm glad I've got family coming up to Sydney instead of us travelling to family, so that makes it a bit easier this year. But yeah, Christmas and birthdays, I'm getting so bah humbug about them all now days. You can just come and go, at least only once a year.
Alright, so yeah, no worries. Yeah, comments, share, like, all that kind of stuff, and catch you next time.
Bye.
Yeah.